Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Stroll Show right here, Radio Free Brooklyn. As always, sitting across from me
is the sea.
And I'm the flow, guys. Welcome back this lovely, lovely Sunday, 12 noon. Ooh.
I like when the music kind of just keeps going.
No, should I just let this go?
Got no reason not to.
Yeah. All right, guys. We got a great show for you lined up today. We got E1I LA calling in from, I believe they're calling from LA this morning. So that's pretty...
might be wondering why they're calling from LA when they're,
with
you
the
know,
name.
E1I like, LA. I'm very excited to talk to them. I'm very curious to find out. So there's two emo nights, right? There's the LA one and there's the Brooklyn one.
There's actually a few.
But are they all ran by the same people?
I don't think the Brooklyn one is.
Well, we're going to find out, I guess.
We're going to find out. I know that the emo night, because they spell it differently with the N-I-T-E.
Right.
So I think, this song is so good. But I think they also have, like, they partner with, like, Baltimore and, like, Dallas. I saw a couple other ones popping up.
But, like, emo night is like a...
It's like an umbrella.
It's like an overarching, yeah, like a corporation kind. Not a corporation, but like some kind of company.
Like a it's like almost like a you know, you got like local DJs or something, like a DJ sir. I think that's what they don't call themselves DJs, but I think they're like they bring the party. So they're kind of like DJs or MCs, maybe they want to be called. I'm not too sure.
Now, and you've been to quite a few of the Brooklyn emo nights, right?
Like two. I would say I went to two.
Okay. So in your experience, what this is nice. I see Steve is doing his little jamming over there.
Noodling.
Yeah.
I'm noodling over here.
I don't know. Maybe we might have to turn this off. You're having a little too much fun.
I know. I'm sorry.
But yeah, so what was your experience like when you went to a Brooklyn night?
I mean, it was awesome. Night. I thought it was really good. We went because it was at Brooklyn Bowl, which is in Williamsburg, for those who don't know. They know.
That's right.
Know.
It is.
And they have like two DJs. They got their little laptop, and they're playing your favorite emo songs from like probably like the late 90s up until... They play up to current. They do like pop punk and stuff. Yeah. So they kind of, it's emo, but they it's an umbrella term for a lot of different bands.
So it's basically like every like road trip that we've ever taken. It's basically like that playlist that plays.
Minus 90s music. Minus like Sugar Ray or something.
Ah, okay. But now, do they do anything other than just play music? Is it just like the music is contributing to the fun? Or is it like, do they bring like lights and like, do they have any kind of stage production? Or is it just like the dude playing the songs?
There's some stage production, I would say, because like it's got some lights and things, but they also have like special guests that come on. Like they'll have who was it last time? They have like some like emo like legend, like some guy from
like Sugar Cult. The guy from Sugar Cult last time was there,
Sugar
right?
Cult, the guy from Sugar Cult, and then the time after that, I think was Fred from Taking Back Sunday. Like he's no longer there, but
gotcha.
He was there. He was doing a little DJ set, which was kind of cool.
Oh well,
so they get some guests. They get some people to come out. And, you know, people get excited. They start pouring beer in everyone's mouth on the stage.
Wow.
I mean, I didn't get beer poured in my mouth.
That never happens to you.
No. They're just like, who the fuck is that kid? No.
But we know for firsthand that that there was, like, a long line to get into Brooklyn Emo Night when we went to see Newfound Glory. And they actually made
Newfound
Glory, like, get off the stage sooner so that they could set up for the Emo Night.
Yeah, that is actually true. It's somehow, like, Emo Night sold out, but... what do you call it? Newfound Glory didn't sell out? That makes no sense to me.
I thought they did sell out.
Maybe they did. I don't know. So I'm getting really...
It's like...
It's reggae day.
It's so good. It's just distracting me. but before we get into that, there was one thing I wanted to bring up last week that I didn't actually bring up. And
What's that there, big boy?
Because we did something last week that was very special. you remember...
Of course, I remember.
Yeah, you remember. So what was it? No.
We went to Stewart's and got a milkshake.
That's true.
That's special, right?
We did do that. But a little earlier in the week, we saw We had an experience. One would say it was a 4DX experience.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I
we didn't speak about this, but I feel like it warrants some mention. Yeah, for sure.
No, I would agree with that.
Yeah. So we saw the new Fast and Furious movie F8, which I actually realized it's called Fate of the Furious, and F8 is fate.
Oh yeah, I see.
Furious 8,
Fate
of the Furious.
Yeah.
8 movie.
I got you.
They thought of it all, man.
I know.
They thought of it all.
Clever. They're being clever these days.
Including thinking of putting it into these new, I assume, theaters that are called 4DX.
Yeah, which I didn't hear of, honestly, until I think you told me about it earlier in the week.
I never heard about it until I heard about it from our buddy Andrew earlier in the week.
Who probably heard about it from an article that his friend wrote at Business Insider. Is that true?
Earlier in the same week.
Earlier in
the same day.
And I think she was also surprised, so she had to go see it to write about it.
That's right. And it's funny.
You can see the paradox that continues on.
This is how information goes viral, right? Word of mouth.
Yeah, that's word of mouth viral. That's like oral tradition right there.
That's right.
For those who took a religion class back in high school.
Yeah, that's right. Very biblical today.
You like that? That was the first biblical reference I made.
you're so biblical, bro.
Yeah.
Yo, it's about to get biblical on the stroll. But yeah, so we saw
what
it.
I like to do, you know.
Check it out. 4D means four dimensions.
It's true.
Four-dimensional experience.
Explain it, and then I have a gripe, but continue.
All right, so number one, the biggest thing that drew me to this, seeing it in this way, was the fact that it's a Fast and Furious movie, right? So it's action, constant action, ridiculous action. You're going there to see the ridiculous action. You don't want to see a good movie. You want to see just crazy car chases and like The Rock punching shit. Like that's what you want, and that's what we got, which was great.
Yeah, they gave us literally everything we wanted.
Right, but the number one reason why I wanted to see this movie in this type of way was because the seats move, and you're at a Fast and Furious movie. You're figuring, vroom vroom, you know, like it's you know, like I'm gonna be like, I'm in the car too. But what I didn't account for was the fact that the seats were gonna be moving along with the camera.
Yeah,
like we'd be flying over Havana. Like, okay, well that's all right.
Because it was like four seats together, like it was like rows of seats, but it was four seats grouped together,
right? So
that would all move together.
Right.
And then there was also the addition of like
mist
water.
Scent.
I didn't smell anything, but I guess I did because I was wondering. I was like, "What? I thought it was the smell of the mist, so I didn't know it was an actual scent."
I'm pretty sure I smelled burning rubber, which is exactly what I would imagine to smell in a Fast and Furious movie.
I didn't know if I smelled that. Well, I didn't get wet until the end of the movie.
Yeah, I just remember there was just like at the end of the movie. I'm not going to spoil anything. You got wet, big boy.
I did.
I just remember looking over and like there's this. It was a scene where Tyrese was shooting out of like. You know,
you come out of like the
Arctic ocean, and so this big just glop of water just comes shooting across the theater and hits Steve right in the fucking grill.
Oh my
god,
I was soaked. I was like, not like crazy, but I got wet. I got wet just like Andrew WK.
Yeah, you did, and that was all right. That was funny. So I mean, you know, overall the movie was ridiculous. It's not going to win any awards.
No, definitely not going to win any
awards. And you know, like you start thinking that maybe they should stop making these movies, but you know. It broke records. It made more money than Star Wars in its opening weekend worldwide.
True.
But I found out that's because Fast and the Furious is big in China, whereas
they're like racing, right?
Right? I don't know. It's an international global phenomenon. This movie, whereas Star Wars, yes, it is a global phenomenon, but for some reason not so big in China.
That's interesting.
I don't think
they make hats for that, right? Big in China.
I'm not big in China.
Wear that.
He's actually making a movie called Big Trouble in Little China, which is the remake of the Kurt Russell joint, who was in Fast and the Furious 8. Boom! Yo, it's 6 degrees of Kurt Russell, whatever his name is.
Well, here now, let me just give you my gripe though about this.
Yeah,
movie,
I want to hear your gripe.
It's 4D, right? And they gave us the water, the movement, all that stuff. I wish I had 3D glasses so the movie was in 3D, because I feel like that's part of the D's.
That's true,
right? Is it not part of the D's?
Mm.
Like you go to Disney and they have like a 4D experience. Don't you still have the 3D glasses?
Mm.
Like Bug's Life. You went to Bug's Life.
I did go to Bug's Life. I'm also thinking about the Lilo and Stitch ride.
Mm. I think I went on that as well, but that was a...
It was like an alien encounter, but you don't see anything in that.
Yeah, that's spooky.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm trying to think. Like, maybe... All right, so which... Let's count the D's.
All right. Motion.
Motion, number one. Is that a D? That's not really a... It's just...
It's a dimension, right? I don't know how you count the D's.
Let's just say for argument's sake that the motion is a D to count.
Okay, motion.
Sight. Yeah, you still could see it, even though it wasn't 3D.
Yeah, but you count that because that's like understood. Going to see a movie.
No, but that's one of the dimensions in real life. I don't know. We're not scientists, I guess.
I don't know how many D's.
Anyway, the scent was a D.
Yeah.
I know that.
It was a D.
Scent was a D.
Scent, sight,
motion.
Scent.
Scent, dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge. Anyway, it was a ridiculous experience. I recommend it to anybody, especially to see this movie. I don't see what other movie would really work in this. There was parts in the movie where The Rock was fighting somebody, and I was getting punched in the back.
Yeah,
by
it was like,
by
it was like
my
a seat massage. Was that like another D though? Like,
I don't know. Maybe this was like a 12D experience.
Yeah, I think they give us more Ds than they actually expected. But so you know, maybe what? The 3D glasses were too much.
Bottom line is, it was $25, and I've paid $20-something for IMAX tickets before.
Yeah.
And you know what? I didn't have The Rock bench pressing me out of my seat.
That's
which legitimately
true.
Happened in this film.
That's very true.
So what are you gonna say?
I gotta say that we got Iman Nikon in about 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes.
Yeah. So what are we gonna play?
Well, this came out and we shared it, and I feel like we should play it. It's that free throw, that new free throw joint.
Oh, it's really, that joint is real nice.
Yeah, which is better have burn heel. And,
I was just like, I'm gonna let this big boy make the Pokemon reference.
And I was like, yo, this, because they have another song called Pallet Town as well.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm thinking like these guys really, they love their Pokemon. So we're going to play that, and then we're going to come back with Emo Night, and you're going to continue listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. This
we
is
hope.
The Stroll Show. Yeah, we hope you stay. We hope you stay.
Stay, please stay with us. Please stay. Stay.
But you enjoy
stay.
This.
Stay. I miss you. I'm stuck inside.
Hey guys, what's up? Well, now you're on the Stroll Show right now.
Oh, did it pick up? Hello?
Hello?
Hey, what's up? You guys are on the...
Sorry, we had a little misconnect there for a second. Sorry about that.
A little Craigslist thing.
No, this is Bob. I think TJ's also dialing in. Is this something like multiple people can dial into?
Oh, multiple, I think we only have one line at once. We only have to do one line at a time. Sorry.
Okay,
You can speakerphone it, maybe, if that works.
No, we're in different places. Let me add him and hold on.
Okay. Ooh, we're getting multiple lines going right now.
Yeah, we don't have that capability yet, unfortunately.
I know. We're working on it. We're working on it.
That would be cool if we could patch two in at once.
I know. I wish we could have like one of those like you watch Silicon Valley?
No, I don't watch that. I'm sorry.
But they have like this crazy app. They're trying to make this like video app where they can like really quickly have like 8 people on a call at once, and it's like all clear.
Wow, that's...
I mean, it's a fake show, but it's funny.
But it's not too far off what's going to actually really happen in real life.
I mean, it's going to happen in real life.
Hello.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
How you doing? Sorry about that. Sorry, we should have let you know that we couldn't have multiple. We're not that advanced yet in Radio Free Brooklyn.
We're
getting there. We're working on it. But anyway, thank you guys for calling. Appreciate it. I know it's a little earlier over there. And
Are you guys calling from L.A.?
Yeah.
Oh, so one of you is. So who we got in the line right now with us?
You have TJ and Babs.
Awesome, guys. Well, welcome to the show. It's real honor for us. We know you guys have. So are you guys the founders of Emo Night LA, or how does this whole thing work out?
Yep, that's us.
Cool. So what went into what was the inspiration to start doing this? Like, you just. How did it come about for you? Like, what was the impetus for creating such a
cool event.
Sure, yeah. So, I don't know, Babs and I met at a mutual friend's birthday party. It was a karaoke birthday party at a bar, and we bonded because we sang Dashboard Confessional hands down, and all of our friends at the party were, like, singing along. It was just super fun. We were like, wouldn't it be fun if we could actually just go out to the bar and listen to music that we wanted to listen to instead of top 40 all the time?
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the idea behind it.
Yeah, obviously we can relate to that because we have similar experiences with our friends, and obviously a lot of other people feel the same way. So what was the first show like? What was the first how did the first show come about? Like what was it like for you guys when it finally came together?
Yeah, I mean we didn't like put a whole lot of effort into the first one because like we said, we wanted to, you know, like get all of our friends together to listen to this kind of music. So we just, we, you know, reserved a night at a local bar called The Shortstop, and it's like 150-person cap. And we made a Facebook event invite, and I think like 400 or 500 people ended up showing up.
Whoa. That's insane.
To
the very first one, and it made us realize that there were a lot of people out there who kind of wanted this as well.
Right.
This is really cool.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, when did you realize that it was becoming successful? But it seems
instantly.
Like it was instantaneously
viral. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, I mean, we didn't know then. Like, we didn't know if anybody was going to come, like, the second time, you know?
Right, right.
We just had no idea.
That's
But, I mean, we pretty much immediately contacted the Echoplex that we'll probably need to move there. And then the second one we had at the Shortstop was even bigger, so we definitely had to move on up a little bit.
Wow! So, what'd you do with all those people? And so, I assume not everyone could have gotten into the bar that night.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a line for several hours. I mean,
oh my god!
Even still, we've now expanded to the Echoplex, and we do four stages there. We actually do like live bands up in the other venue, the Echo. We have two patios, and we take over the whole parking lot and fill it with food trucks and, like, art installations and photo booths and stuff like that.
Wow.
But even still, like, we still have a line in L.A., and people will line up at, like, 3 p.m. We don't sell advance tickets. People line up at, like, 3 or 4, and then, you know, we have a line probably till like, 12:30.
Oh, my God.
And that ends at 2.
Wow.
That's insane. I gotta be honest.
Do you think that do you think it's really related to the music itself? Like, is it a testament to the powerful connection that people have to this type of music? Like, I feel like this wouldn't happen in another genre, and I guess especially because of the fact that, you know, you can't really, like you guys said earlier, like you can't really hear this stuff on the radio anymore. So there's kind of like a want from the fan base that's still exists, obviously. It's, you know,
very active.
Yeah, obviously, you know, Warped Tour still goes on and stuff like that. So do you think it's really like a testament to the music itself that why this is really so successful?
100%. You know, I mean, I think, like, for me, it's always been like I would sort of go to parties in college, and I would like steal the aux cable and put on Taking Back Sunday, and the people who like started singing along instantly became my best friends. And it's like me and Babs had that connection and became like really good friends over Dashboard Confessional. And I think this music has always had that sort of like effect on people. You become best friends with the people who also like it.
That's true, because I feel like it's kind of tough. I don't know what it is, because like everyone could be a fan of Bruno Mars or like Katy Perry, but it's like when you go to bands like Taking Back Sunday, Dashboard Confessional, I feel like it's kind of hard to know who's actually listening. How do you know that this guy likes it, or that someone's even heard of it, you know? So it's kind of very...
It feels like more of a tight-knit group of people that like the more underground stuff. Although, you know, that music from the early 2000s wasn't necessarily underground, but it had its moment, and then it kind of went away really quick. I don't know what happened or what caused it to kind of go away. I don't know what happened in the music industry to kind of force it back underground, but it's just like we finally got out, and it was like some bands were got big, like, you know, Brand New and Taking Back Sunday, and, you know, even like some other bands too, like thinking about Hawthorne Heights and stuff like that, or Red Jumpsuit Apparatus had their like little brief moments, story of the year and stuff like that. Wait, what was it? Story So Far?
Story of the year.
Sorry, okay, Story So Far is the Newfound Glory song.
And it's also a band too.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay, well, screw me, man. I'm stupid. But yeah, so I'm kind of curious, like, what goes into, like, as it's grown, what goes into planning it? Is it gotten more complicated, or like, you know, do you both kind of handle it together, or do you have like different responsibilities that you balance?
Yeah, I mean, we have a third partner as well, Morgan. He's probably sleeping. but we sort of have a split responsibilities, but we also all just do everything. And it's definitely become more complicated because, like we said, it started at like a 160-person bar, and now it's in 20 cities across the U.S. and like a giant monthly party in L.A.
Wow.
So it definitely is, you know, and we do really cool stuff. We'll have, you know, marching bands come in and play pop punk and emo songs. We'll have, like, just really special things that make our event unique.
Right.
And those things take a really, really long time to plan, but it's all worth it because every time it comes together, it's super cool.
How far in advance do you have to book a marching band to come to a bar or to come to a big place and play like that?
I hope it's like a high school band or something.
Well, not only that, they had to like write and arrange the songs for
this
marching band.
I feel like that's not easy to do, though, for something like this.
So yeah, I think the first time we had the marching band, I probably booked them like end of October for our December event. So they were able to pull it together pretty quick. And actually, a lot of the guys are, like, super professional. They just, like, showed up and sight-read the whole thing. Like, they'd never played it or looked at the music before.
Wow.
But they pulled it off. It was awesome.
Wow, that's great.
And the marching band coming back, we're bringing them with us to Webster Hall.
Wow. That's insane. Because I necessarily wanted to ask you now, because, like, now you've been doing it in L.A., and now you're – is this, like, the first – emo night tour that's actually going, you know, I guess continental, right? This continent of the United States? I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's like the first one you're planning that going from like city to city?
No, we've been touring since like October 2015. We've been touring for like 2 years.
Wow. That's so cool. That's like the coolest thing.
It's like fly out dates. You know, we do like one or two a week in a different city.
But this is our first one in New York.
Oh, so this is like the first time coming. This is its first time coming East Coast in general as well? Or is it just like a New York City type deal?
Yeah, just New York. First time in New York. But we've definitely come to the East Coast.
Wow.
Yeah, because obviously like here... Steve, you've been to Emo Night Brooklyn.
Yeah, there's a Brooklyn.
Like, are they related? Is it like all related? Is it all like kind of under the same umbrella that you guys began, or is it kind of like little offshoots?
No, it's not.
Actually, oh, okay.
The Emo Night Brooklyn there is actually It was started by my college roommate probably a month or two after we started our LA one.
Ooh,
and it was kind of like copy and paste. What we were doing and like make it super cheesy, but yeah, we kind of wanted to just come to New York and like do it really big and show everybody, like, you know, our party is like.
Yeah, well, I mean, because it's
why our party is special,
right?
Yeah, because it's very unique, because like the Brooklyn one, it was at Brooklyn Bowl, and that's only one, you know, it's one level, one stage, but you guys are coming to Webster Hall and you're taking over. Because Webster Hall's got a bunch of different, stages, like basement level. They got the studio, they got the Marlin Room. So you guys are taking over every floor of Webster Hall?
We're just doing the studio and the ballroom.
Okay, so that's pretty sizable.
That's still great. Yeah, because I haven't been to one of the emo nights in New York yet, but I was wondering like what it is, and he was explaining it's kind of like just a guy with a laptop playing the songs, and like, you know, sometimes they have a special guest DJ, but from what you guys are explaining, the real emo night is you're having marching bands, you're having other kind of crazy guests and
live bands coming
on
and stuff.
So obviously it's that's the real deal. That's what I want to experience.
Well, and ours is like an experience. You know, we want people to be on stage and hang out with us and party with us. So there's no line between we're on stage, you know, literally playing songs from Spotify and then people in the crowd singing. It's just this unified community, and that's what our party is about.
Yeah, it didn't seem like that was the case for whatever's going on. Because there was also another one at Webster Hall right after the Newfound Glory show. We just went to a month ago, and
Irving Plaza.
Yeah, Irving Plaza. So that was in the city, and the line even for that was out the door, and they weren't even seeing the. I don't even know if people really know the real deal now, because I didn't know. I had no idea, and it's kind of new to me. So I'm glad to finally have a good
the OGs. We got the OGs with us.
It's tough to explain like the difference, because what we do is like so unique, and it's hard to kind of like convey that to people without actually having them like come experience it. So that's like why we wanted to come to New York and like go all out, do it as big or bigger than we do in LA, because I don't think New York has what we. I don't think what that New York thinks of an emo night is like what we're bringing to the table.
Wow, because I've only experienced it so much, and I'm hearing, I've been seeing you guys. You got the little teaser videos going up for the Webster Hall show, and you got some special guests lined up. Is it possible to know those special guests, or that's one of those things you gotta go to Webster Hall to find out?
Purchase the ticket to find out.
You gotta buy the ticket, and then you'll get to know.
Webster Hall, we actually announced all of the special guests.
Oh, you did.
But in LA, we don't announce our guests ever. But in for the New York show, we announced the full lineup.
Awesome. So who you guys? Who's playing? Yeah, who's coming to that Webster Hall one?
Yeah, tell us a little bit about what's going on.
This Webster Hall show, we have guest DJ sets from Craig Owens from Chiodos, Will from Cartel, Machine Gun Kelly, Tyler Posey. We have live performances from Jeff Rickley from Thursday, The Spill Canvas. We have the marching band coming through. We have Oso playing, and a bunch of other stuff too. Sorry if I left anybody out, but we literally have like
this is
so
insane.
Many people. Everybody's gonna just do like 25-minute sets.
Holy crap! It's like a festival. Yeah,
this is insane. So it's like it's basically Emo Night LA is coming with the huge festival to Webster Hall. This is
they're bringing out the big guns.
Yeah, they're bringing
East Coast West Coast war is about to go down.
So now let me ask this now. Do you guys get to play now because we're in New York? I guess everything bars stay open till 4 a.m. You guys get to play till 4 a.m. or is it still a 2 a.m. curfew?
I think we're gonna end it at
2.
Yeah.
Oh, so it ends. You know what? That's still plenty of time. I think
we'll be right.
Yeah. So, what day actually is this happening? Like, what day are there still tickets available, or is it at this point already sold out?
There are still tickets available. It's on Thursday, May 4th, at Webster Hall.
Awesome. That's Star Wars Day, isn't it? May 4th. May the 4th be with you, right?
Right.
Yeah. Maybe we're waiting for the joke.
Maybe there'll be some Star Wars themes.
We love Star Wars.
Okay, well.
Wait, let me ask you guys a question, though. Do people actually, like, stay out till 4 in the morning, like, on a Thursday? Like, how do people go to work the next day? Or what is that about?
Well, you're asking the right men.
Well, that's true. Yeah. I think there's an upper echelon of derelicts that inhabit the city, and we just happen to be two of them.
Yeah, you know what it is? You start drinking, and you're enjoying yourself. You don't really keep my phone in my pocket, and then next thing you know, I'm looking down, and like, oh, it's 3:30, and I got to be up at, 7, 8 o'clock the next day? So
I think it's you choose your battles, right? Like, you decide, you know what? Tonight is I'm doing something that I really want to do, like go to emo night. I'm going to enjoy myself, and I'm not going to put a time limit on my fun.
Yeah, exactly. Right there. That's how some people put time limits. We don't do that. So everyone I think that's going to this is not going to be worrying about time.
Yeah, and I think again it goes with the the type of fans of the emo night and stuff like that. I feel like more people like that, not that we're like a type of person, but like I feel like I don't know, if you're going to something like this, you're not gonna want to go home.
Yeah,
you know, and the city, you know, it's a city that never sleeps, right? That's what they say. We never sleep. Yeah, so I think it's gonna be great. And I actually want to ask you guys just a little background on you, if anybody wants to try to, because I'm in a band too, and I know trying to put together bills for shows and booking venues and booking a tour is very difficult. Do you guys have any background in this before getting into doing the emo nights? Like, what is the background for you guys, if you can like tell a little bit of details about that?
Yeah, I mean, all three of us worked in the music industry before. I worked at Creative Artists Agency in music touring and digital strategy. Before then, I was at Sony Music as a marketing rep. And then, you know, Morgan's been in, like, music video direction and production. TJ, you've done, like, all sorts of shit.
Like, yeah, I worked in artist management and digital strategy before that. But yeah, we all still work in the music industry. We have another company called Ride or Cry. It's like a full service creative agency. So we handle like a lot of social media management, branding, music video production, web development, stuff like that for artists, bands, and brands.
But yeah, and I know because you guys also have a podcast, right? The Ride or Cry podcast.
Yep.
Yeah.
And is that you guys that do that? Because I know that like just started about like a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just did our third one with John Feldman that comes out next week.
Oh, awesome! Because I know your first one was the three. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just saying it comes out tomorrow.
Oh,
I just
awesome!
Remembered Sunday.
Oh yeah, no. But the first one you guys had was with 303, right? With the singer, the lead singer of 303.
Yeah, we had both the dudes from 303 come back.
That's crazy. How were those guys? Because I listened to the last album and it was insane.
They're so funny and like they're just hilarious and so cool. It was a great time.
Would they ever make it out to an emo night? Have they done the stage for you guys?
They haven't guest DJed, but Sean has definitely come to a bunch of our parties.
Oh my, you got to get them on stage.
Down the street from the shortstop. Yeah, we need to get them to DJ. They're actually coming on the Warped Tour cruise with us. We're doing like a cruise with Kevin Lyman and 303 and like Cartel and Bowling Pursuit and Lesson Jake and
wow.
But we're doing all like the night parties on board the ship.
Oh my god.
We'll probably have 303 come up and guest DJ and be a part of those.
Well, if you guys ever need some extra employees to work full time for you, I am fully available.
He's got amazing. He's got his resume together.
I'm putting it together. No. I got my face on it, so you don't forget that face.
It sounds like to me that you guys are like a dream team working. Like it's really awesome and inspiring to hear using your skills to bring together something and do something that you love, and I think that's what kind of everybody dreams to do.
That's
so that's really awesome and. Congratulations on all the success with this.
Thank you guys.
Yeah,
I mean, we work nonstop. You know, it never stops.
Yeah,
we are working like 20 hours a day, but it doesn't feel like work all the time. It's definitely exhausting, but it doesn't feel like work because we really love what we're doing.
Yeah,
so I think it's really nice to hear what you guys just said because we're so in it that. We can never really step back and be like, look how cool this is.
Yeah.
Because we're just on to the next thing. So
right.
It's really nice to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. I relate to it very deeply because, you know, like I said, I'm also a musician and I know what it's like to book tours and book shows. And like sometimes you have to take yourself out of it to realize, this, you know, like, wow, this is really great and successful. And I'm happy. Like, oh, wait, I'm actually happy. I'm doing this fun thing. That's awesome. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just... Just quick little side question. We're kind of wrapping up. I don't want to take too much of your time. But just a little bit of like the first time you realized that like you loved this music. How, like, what age were you? What band was it? And how did it hit you?
Oh man,
it's a tough one. I'm sorry.
I think for me, Babs, I'll go first. You can think about it.
Okay, great.
But I think for me, it was probably like my like summer between eighth grade and ninth grade when I discovered Dashboard Confessional. I think my like AIM girlfriend had broken up with me or something, and I was listening to Dashboard, and I was like, this is something really, really special. And then I just, you know, that summer I went and saw Dashboard live and the Get Up Kids opened. And from there, I just sort of went down into the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
I think, you know, growing up, that time where Fall Out Boy and Blink and Simple Plan and everybody was on MTV, like, I guess that was my initial entry into this scene, but I think the first time I really fell in love with it was my first show. I went to see Sum 41 at the Hollywood Palladium, and I was in it from that point. It was just
Sum 41 was my first show too.
Oh really?
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
So funny.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I interrupted. Yeah, you. I had to interject. I'm sorry.
No, that's really awesome. Yeah. I don't know anyone else. I don't think I've run into anyone else, but. That was their first show, so that's awesome. Yeah, they're so fucking good live, and it changed my life.
Yeah, you know, it's so different now how, like, hearing you guys kind of explain, you know, like, you're citing MTV and AIM messaging, like, things, like, it's so, everything's so different now. Like, how do you find music nowadays, you know, like, how do kids keep, you know, and I feel like...
How can they talk to their AIM girlfriend now?
Yeah, you know? How do you talk to your AIM girlfriend
still
now?
Waiting.
you Snapchat them, I guess. So I don't know.
I can't use that. I'm not even...
I mean, what's really cool for us personally, though, is at our LA shows and in New York, too, we're going to have, you know, we have live bands. So we get a lot of submissions every day. And I love it. We just get to go through and listen to all these new bands that... You know, that will maybe eventually be on Fearless Records, Hopeless Records, but maybe are unsigned now. And we get to have them come play at the Echo and introduce them to a new audience. And that, to me, right now, is the best part of Emo Night and my favorite part, for sure.
Yeah, that, I hadn't even really thought of that. I'm just so into, like, the... I got really thrown off by the marching band playing pop punk songs.
I need to see that.
But, like, you know, like, that is really an awesome byproduct of this. You can actually... use it as a platform
for
new bands, growing bands that people don't know about, and you can help bring them more to the forefront through this thing. So
it all fits
really
into
good.
The vein.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah.
So you guys got like a great thing going. I like it. You got everything, because you know what?
He doesn't like a lot of things.
I don't like a lot of things.
He likes
this. I feel like I very, you know, very, very judgmental on a lot of things, but this is like...
It's very jaded, young man.
I'm very jaded at this point. But, you know, it's a beautiful thing because, you know, this music obviously hasn't been in the forefront, not too popular, but it's bringing like-minded people together, you know, that are looking for this. I don't know. You can't just get this, you know, because I could listen to it at work, right? I'm sitting at work. I'm listening to, like, Dashboard. I'm listening to Taking Back Sunday. But now I get to actually experience that with people and not the quiet environment of, like, a concert, like going to Taking Back Sunday, where you're kind of just, you know, watching, you know, a band. Now you get to, like, interact with other people. You get to have drinks with the people. You know, it's a beautiful thing.
And people can in New York can experience it May 4th, which is I wish I was going to be in this country around that time and I would go. But next time you guys come around, is there any plans to come back in the future, or are you going to kind of see how this one goes and then, you know, expand from there?
Yeah, we'd love to come back. Yeah, sure.
Well, cool. Hopefully you do, because I would like to be there for the next one. But listen, guys, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. You're doing great work, and just keep it up and keep bringing the emo to the people, because we need it. We need it, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
No problem, guys. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Okay, great.
Whoop.
Yeah. Hey. Oop, whoop. 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 Hey. So, Emo Night LA. Awesome people.
That's amazing.
Awesome people doing
That's
awesome
an amazing
things.
Thing. I have to say how amazing that is.
Yeah. You know,
it's an idea that, like, man, it
seems so simple.
It seems so simple, but it became like they go on Warped Tour and everything. the cruise ship.
Yeah, I wanted to ask more about that, but that would have went down a whole other rabbit hole where we would still be talking about that probably.
I know, that's true.
Like going in and booking a cruise, a Warp Tour cruise. I didn't even know that was a thing.
I think they just started because I remember seeing. I think it was like it goes to Cozumel or something in Mexico. Louisiana.
That's insane.
It's an amazing thing. So that was Emo Night. Thank you for calling in. If you guys want to get tickets, I think they're still available. They said for May 4th show at Webster Hall. Just check out their Facebook at the
They obviously know their social media because they do social media for other bands. I wanted to ask them about the social media game, but
I feel like we should just private message them. We should slide into the DMs.
Slide into the DMs. I hope their DMs are open for us. So listen, let's play maybe another song. You want to play? What other new songs came out this week? I think Patent Pending came out with a really interesting cover of a Pitbull song or something, or some kind. They put out like a cover to, or two one a cover or two.
Is it like Shout Out to My Ex? Is that
something like that? Let me see what it looks like. Let me see that.
I don't know.
I don't know. They just come out?
I don't know. I'm not too familiar with this new song.
Oh shit! Well, I listened to it. It was pretty crazy.
Let me scan all the proper.
Yeah, I think it might have been on YouTube, but I listened to it. I'm pretty sure it was a cover of some popular top 40-ish song. I can't really see it. Hang on. Let me. He's passing the phone. To me. I have the phone in my hand.
While he's doing that, if you guys like what you hear right here, Radio Free Brooklyn, you can help donate. You can give us $1, $2, $5, $10, whatever you feel. Just go right to Radio Free Brooklyn /pledge, right to our Patreon page, and you can receive a whole lot of gifts. You can get a mug, a t-shirt, maybe a book. There's a whole bunch of stuff on there. You go check that out, radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge. So that's my pledge to you, to keep pledging to us.
And if you give something, you're going to get something. Don't forget that.
That is right. Remember what I said 6 months ago? You just save $1 a day. You skip that lunch one time. Take PB&J to lunch at work. And next thing you know, you can give us a little something. We keep giving it to you.
A little something.
Very small. Not a lot. We're not asking too much.
We never ask for much. No. We never ask for much.
And if that's all we ask, that's not too bad. But, just go give it a look. Give it a look-see. And if you like the Stroll Show right here, Radio Free Brooklyn, every Sunday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, hit us up on all the social media accounts. Because we got it going. We got it humming, baby. Facebook, at the Stroll Show BK. Instagram, Stroll Show BK. Twitter, Stroll Show BK.
You sense the theme.
You sense how ironclad our social media game is.
We're really on top of it. We are now over 100 followers on the Twitter.
Oh yeah, that was something we neglected for a long time.
And once you start, you gotta treat it like a little vegetable garden.
It's true.
Now our
little magical garden.
Yeah, we gotta keep it. And now little tomatoes are starting, a little tomato sprout. Yeah, they're not ready for sauce yet.
Not yet.
They're not ready to be made sauce yet. Not ready to be sliced and added to a nice salad. Little hydrangeas might start growing. Maybe we put a little flowers on our vegetable garden. We don't discriminate.
But we've got to be careful for the bugs, though. We don't want to be nibbling at the leaves.
That's a good point. Damn, this kid. So smart. Hey, you know what else, though?
I've grown a tomato once.
Well, I'm gonna water your ears with this patent pending song, because you were right. It is Shout Out to My Ex.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure whose original song this is, but I don't believe this is actually a patent pending song. I believe it's a cover of something else. I'm gonna try to find out what that is after, and we'll come back. We'll do an Oh Shit moment of the week, because I have one this week.
Well, I have one too. I have it. That's ridiculous. It may be the same thing.
We'll do a joint, and we'll be back after this. Thanks again to Emo Night LA, and we'll be with the Stroll Show, Seeing the Flow on Radio Free Brooklyn. Stay with us.
This is a shout out to my ex. Heard he in love with some other chick. Yeah, that hurt me, I'll admit. Forget that boy, I'm over it. I hope she's getting better sex. Hope she ain't faking it like I did, baby. Took 4 long years to call it quits. I'm out. Forget that boy, I'm over it. I guess I should say thank you for the hangers and the tattoos. Oh baby, I'm cool, by the way. Ain't sure I love you anyway. Go ahead, babe, I'ma live my life, yeah. Shout out to my ex, you're really quite the man. You made my heart break and that made me who I am. Here's to my ex, hey look at me now. I'm always
all your pics. They blocked your number from my phone. Yeah, yeah, you took all you could get, but you ain't getting this love no more.
It was by Little Mix.
Little Mix?
Little Mix. I never heard of them before. That is not the original one that I heard. I heard someone.
What you saw was another cover of another song.
Maybe. And it was a little bit. Not that was bad. This other one was a little better. Let me see if I can find it. Maybe we'll play out on it. But anyway, get on to your That's Ridiculous, because I think we have
combined it. But I just want to say one thing about that patent pending album. I know it's like a bunch of covers. Yeah. That's one thing I know. I know they Rick rolled us or something on one of those, but.
Oh, yeah. Never Gonna Give You Up.
Never Gonna
that's,
Give
that's
You
That's right
up.
Here. Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. We could have listened to that one instead. Down. Damn. I didn't realize it was all covers.
Desert You.
They got Spice Up Your Life, too.
Wow. We messed. We screwed up, bro.
We played the wrong one. Well,
yeah, we played a little mix. We got to play out one of those. That's what we got to do.
Definitely. We got to play. I mean, Spice Up Your Life. I think that's the one.
So now, Paul and I, we vaguely just mentioned, if you want, it's what we wanted to talk about here. Now, is it. You want to do this as an oh shit moment, or you want to do this as a that's ridiculous?
Well, is there something specific about this that was ridiculous?
I just think the whole thing was ridiculous.
Ah. All right. So then I'll have a specific oh shit thing, and then you can get into the depth with the that's ridiculous. How about that?
Okay. I like that.
Start with the oh shit.
We both go up the beatbox.
I took a deep breath.
You are now entering the oh shit moment of the week.
Oh shit. It's an oh shit moment.
All right, we're in it. We're in it now. Now we're in it.
All right. Let's just get right into it.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say this, but is that music festival Fire?
Fire Festival.
FYRE.
Yeah, that was down in the Bahamas.
The Bahamas.
On a secret island.
Now, the whole thing is oh shit worthy, and the whole thing is that ridiculous worthy.
It's ridiculous and dangerous.
Right. So here's the thing. First of all, why?
Let's preface it first. Let's explain it.
I mean, I think people probably know about it at this point. It was pretty viral, but I mean, we can explain a little. Yeah, I don't even know
real
this,
quick.
I don't really understand even what it was. I mean, I read an article about it. I read an article about somebody who worked at the festival and said, I worked at the festival and here's the shit that went down. And they didn't make me sign an ND agreement, which is like a non-disclosure agreement. So they were able to just shit all over it how much as they want, which was pretty amazing. But anyway.
What it was, it seemed like a Ja Rule funded music festival that was supposed to take place on this private island off the coast of the Bahamas, I forget exactly the name of the island, but it was like this secluded thing to make everyone feel like a celebrity. It was like enjoy like a festival as celebrities would do it. So there's
right.
upper, really
and
expensive.
This is why we didn't even know about it.
Yeah, because we don't spend that money.
And that's ridiculous, first of all.
That is ridiculous.
They basically were like, you have to be like Kim Kardashian or like in that realm of like fame. Yeah. Like some of the tickets were like
10,000 or 14,000, right?
But even more, I thought too. I thought one ticket was like $125,000 for like you have like models come and hang out with you or something.
Yeah, dude, because that was the thing. So I heard about this fully. Yeah, like I really did my research yesterday on it, and I started looking at the Facebook.
Because you want to talk about it today?
Well, I just learned about it, so I was like, this is insane. So I was like, let me start looking back at the social media account, right? So I started hitting up Facebook. It looked just like someone that had the strongest Photoshop game on the planet, because it was just all pictures of girls in bikinis with like, oh, seize the day. You're like, manifest destiny, like all these stupid phrases, right? But
manifest destiny. What are we fucking
1800s
like,
explorers going west?
Not even. We're like the Sioux tribe. that's manifest. That's the only people that get manifest destiny.
Well, either way, go to the page, the Fire Festival, and you'll see the Facebook. They never
is it still up?
It's still up, bro.
You can go see it right now.
Go look it up.
I gotta go.
They never announced the bands. They just say.
Well, Blink-182 was supposed to be right.
Yeah, but then I look back, right? So I started looking at the bands because like Blink-182 was the headline, like good music, like the DJ, you know, guys were supposed to be there. All this stuff was supposed to happen. But none of them seem to have announced it on their own Facebook pages event was happening.
Can I just say one thing?
Yes.
So I'm looking it up in Facebook, right? The first thing that comes up, before the Fire Festival itself, Fire Festival Disaster comes up.
Oh, my
first.
God.
So anyway. Continue.
So what had to happen was these people who bought these insanely priced tickets had to get private, like a private airplane ride from like the Bahamas to this kind of remote island. And all sorts of madness into it, right? They had to cancel flights. People were stranded. Like all these like... you know, multi-thousand-dollar cabanas weren't even fully finished. There was no food. There was literally nothing there. Like, I don't think stages were even set up. I don't think bands ever performed. I don't think anything actually happened.
Yeah, I'm looking at this right now. Well, nothing happened. Blink-182 pulled out before. It was supposed to be over two weekends, right?
Yes.
So
this weekend and next.
Right. So you literally are on the island for the whole time, right? Because you fly out there. I guess you could technically just fly back and then fly back to the island. But if you're going to the Bahamas, you'd probably just stay there for the whole week, I would assume.
Right. But you had to get, like, there was another plane you had to get that was like a private plane.
Right.
To
go to this remote island.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
Yeah. And that's the thing. That's one of the main things that said right here. On a remote island. Firefestival.com. Tickets on sale now.
It just seems weird. Like
a music and art festival.
Like it explains nothing. It really explains nothing on the site. And for people to really sink that much money into it.
Well, maybe. Listen.
Yeah.
Maybe. This was because you had to know about it to actually get the info.
That is
true. You know what I'm saying?
That is, yeah, but.
We weren't, dude, we are not worthy. We are not worthy to get a private invite to spend thousands of dollars.
They know we don't have that money. They know we don't have that.
But listen. You know who doesn't have the money either? Ja Rule. He was trying to get the money. I read an article that said, it literally was that Ja Rule, like the night before, like it was supposed to start, like shit was going bad. Like they didn't even set up the stage yet. They didn't have enough tents for people. They didn't have food for people. I saw a picture someone tweeted out of the bread and the cheese.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That probably sums up the whole thing. And people were stuck in this place. And this is what they were giving them, a bread and cheese. So they didn't even have, like, and it's not like they weren't prepared. Like, they were, not like they shouldn't have been prepared. This was when it was starting. They should have had food. They should have had rations for people. They should have been somewhat prepared. Where it's a remote island, right? What are you going to eat, coconuts?
They're lucky no one died. I got to be honest. Because this was a dangerous, you're going to a remote island where you're having trouble. Like, people were getting, like, kicked back off the plane. And they were getting, like, we have to deboard the whole plane. We had to do stuff. We have no food. We have no place for people to go. How is this? This Ja Rule, king of the rules, should be going to jail.
I mean,
or somebody should be held accountable for something so disastrous.
Here's the other thing. Didn't Ja Rule just get released from jail like not too long ago? He was in jail, I thought.
How could you, like, this undertaking seemed bigger than anyone who was organizing the event.
And it just sounds like they just reached out to people to help to organize it.
Yeah.
And they were offering them crazy amount of money. And then the list of the guy or girl that I was reading the article from, they were anonymous, so I don't know. So they wrote like all the shit that happened, but they said that a lot of people got fired, but this person was one of the people that didn't get fired, and they were like, "You can stay on, but we're gonna give you like a fraction of what we were gonna pay you before."
Wow.
And this is when they were already on the island, so this was like a couple of days before it was gonna start, and so the person was like, "No, I'm going home." So she just went home.
This is insane. This is like, I forget, there was another festival, not to this level, but I know it was like down in like Arkansas or Alabama or something. And it was like this other music festival, and people were like getting that were stranded and sleeping on the side of the road. Remember this? Because like they couldn't get cabs, like streets were flooded. People were sleeping out in the rain. Like they wouldn't help anybody. You had to walk like about like 3-4 miles to get to like the closest town.
Do you know what festival it was?
I don't remember. And
you probably had heard about it before you read about it, right? Like this is what pisses me off most about this is like this just proves that there's another world out there. That we will never, ever be able to be part of.
No, but I don't want it. Like, it's all these DJs. I'm not a DJ guy.
I'm just saying, like, the first time I ever heard of this was when it was already going to shit. Like, we you know what I mean? We didn't even know. We only know about it because it went to shit. If it was successful, like, Blink-182 wasn't even promoting it. Maybe they were told not to. Maybe they have a private feed that only the people that were going to Fire Festival were able to see who. You know what I mean? It's just like.
Shit, yeah, I didn't even think about
that,
bro.
Who knows, man? Maybe, you know what? And you know, it just this is
that's
the kind
how we
of
were going to emo night instead of Fire Festival, bro. You know, I know where I got. I know where I belong.
You know, and I didn't want to put this kind of pressure on them, but I was gonna ask this question, and I was gonna kind of compare it to this Fire Festival thing. Not compare it, but like ask about this, and then like, do you think that emo night could ever sustain itself as a festival? Like,
yeah, I can like a 1-day festival. Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Why not? And then they could become emo weekend. You know, why not? Like, get a bunch of, like...
I'll be there.
It could be, like, a different version. Because, you know, Warped Tour has evolved. And it's not just pop punk emo music. It's a lot of different stuff.
Yeah.
Right? There's some, like, you know, heavier bands, screamo, metal, you know, there's the ska and stuff. Not that that's not... doesn't have a place on festivals. It surely does. But maybe emo night will have, you know, they'll have that all their weird things, but they could just do it as a festival. That'd be pretty rad.
Like a couple stages. Yeah.
It would be rad.
It would be rad. And I would say it's dope.
I would agree with that.
I would say it's super dope.
And our interview today was super dope. I think it was a super dope and rad episode, Steve.
Yeah, I agree. I wish the little feed got a little blurry at some points, but you know, that's that long distance call.
That's that technology.
That's the provider. That's not us.
What are you going to do? You can't, you know what? That's why we like having guests in the studio, but one day maybe we'll fly out to LA and we'll do it on location.
We got some places we got to be.
Big boy, dude. Maybe we got to go hit the road.
We got to hit Fest, right? We got to go down to Fest.
And we got to get down there. That's true.
We got to go to that Ska Festival, the Supernova.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I
won the free tickets to that. I don't know how.
Load me up in the Jeep, big boy.
All right. I just got to get new tires. People don't need to know about that.
Know what it is? It's Manifest Destiny,
bro. It is Manifest Destiny. Seize the day. Carpe diem, everybody. You're here. You listen to The Stroll Show right here, Radio Free Brooklyn.
Are you going
to
play Spice Up Your Life by Patton Pendon?
I am. There's one more man that we always talk about. And you guys probably don't know. He's probably texting Paul right now.
He texted me about Manifest Destiny. He likes that. He liked it.
Thank you, Vin. And that's our boy, Vinny. He's moving back to Brooklyn July 1st. Ladies and gentlemen, let us give Vin one last question.
Hey, Vin.
Hey, Vinny. You up, bro?
You up, Vinny. It took a break.
Go.